You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks for joining us today. We have great conversation ahead of us today. College students. We like to talk about college students here on Faith and Family from time to time. They're important people in our lives. Maybe you're a college student yourself, and we have some great treats for you today. Do you know about LCMSU? Campus Ministry for our LCMS students and friends. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit, and something new for our LCMS students. So we're going to talk with Reverend Marcus Zill, Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU here in just a little bit, and a top secret guest. You've never heard him here before on Worldwide KFUO. Okay, maybe you have. The Reverend Craig D'Onofrio is going to join us for the conversation as well. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website. Go to KFUO.org and look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section there. And drop them a note. Say thanks for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Joining me in studio this morning, the Reverend, the Right Reverend, the Most Reverend, the Chancellor... The most reverend, Marcus Zill, director of LCMS Campus Ministry, LCMSU. Pastor Zill, welcome to Faith and Family.
Hey,
again.
Welcome, Andy. It's great to be with you. I kind of like the sound of chancellor. I think that's pretty cool. When I was called to this position, when we were playing around with terminology, I requested czar. We thought that sounded a little law-oriented. Truth be told, I don't have any ecclesiastical supervision over anybody doing campus ministry, but I do care about college students. As you mentioned, they are important people. A great passion of my life is trying to care for them. But I do kind of like the name Chancellor, because if you're going to build an LCMSU, a kind of a virtual university, you might need a chancellor. So maybe I should think about that.
Everybody needs a chancellor, right?
There you go.
Also joining us in studio today, the most reverend, the right reverend, the somewhat reverend?
Holy Father.
The
please.
Holy Father, the Reverend Craig D'Onofrio, host of Reformation Rush Hour here at Worldwide KFUO, the God Whisperers, and Concord Matters. Anything else?
The only shows I don't do are the ones that you're always on, and vice versa. It's
today KFUO we broke that.
We're mostly the Andy and Craig show on KFUO. So
today we broke that. Hey, we've got some other great hosts here too, here at Worldwide KFUO.
I said mostly.
Mostly. Yeah. Well, it'll be probably later in the program once we figure out why we have why all of our guests are here today. We'll start to make the connection. First, I want to talk about LCMSU and campus ministry. What is LCMSU?
Well, LCMSU is the name of campus ministry in the Synod. It's been about a year and a half now since we unveiled the logo and the initiative. Still a work in progress as I came on board this last fall. Still getting my bearings, and we're developing a strategic plan to basically develop a virtual university for college students, whether they are at many of our campus ministries around the Synod. We have approximately 190 at the moment that are engaged in intentional campus ministry. I always like to point out that campus ministry takes place wherever you have college students who are being ministered to. And so actually that could be almost anywhere. It could be in every single one of our congregations, and probably is on most given Sundays, as long as there's a college student there and you have the gospel and you have Christ and his gifts, you have campus ministry taking place. But we have approximately 190 intentional places where they're seeking to reach out in particular to this age group. So first and foremost, it is a network of campus ministries, our LCMSU chapters. We also are engaged in putting on conferences. Of course, many of your listeners remember the Taboo Conference, probably. We had a nice Lutheran Witness article, series of articles, a whole issue focused on a lot of the speakers. I think even Pastor D'Onofrio spoke at Taboo and had an article in the Lutheran Witness flowing out of his time there. Lots of great stuff talking about marriage and sexuality, dating issues and such. So Taboo Conference is wildly successful. Had it back in January. It was our second conference. Had about 470 students, I believe, and those that work with them. Not going to have one of those again for a year and a half, but we have a lot of great stuff that we're working on rolling out here in the next 6 to 10 months.
Wow. Rolling out more stuff.
Rolling out.
Why is... Why is campus ministry important? Craig, when you were a college student, why was it important to have campus ministry?
Well, let's see. When I was in college, I did 2 years at community college. Actually, I did about 8 years at a community college and then 2 years at a Concordia.
It's faster than most, Craig.
You know, if you add it up, I did as well. I did 2 years as a student and then came back and worked at community college for about 5 years or so, a little over 5 years. So I did about almost 8 years at community college as well.
Yeah, I was in the recording arts program and I take like one class at a time for a while, and then finally I got done with playing music and goofing around, and I decided to be a business major, and then I took it serious for like 4.5 years. But there wasn't much of a ministry on the community college where I was. There mm-hmm. there wasn't an outreach. And boy, I kind of look back and I wonder what would have happened had I heard the good news of Jesus Christ, the way that we understand it as Lutherans. Maybe I would have become a Lutheran much earlier. Maybe I would have been pre-sim instead of business. And maybe I would have gotten to seminary earlier. And maybe, I'd be closer to retirement than I am now. But I don't know. But I think that it is imperative for us to have this presence. Even in the 80s, when I was in college, it was very hostile toward Christianity. Hostile toward those who believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And I think that has only been ratcheted up so many times in proportion to what it was like back then. So, you know, these days especially, I think even as much, if not more than back then, mm-hmm. there's that hostility toward Christianity and toward actually living a decent life and that sort of thing. So I think that ministries like LCMSU are so imperative to kids these days so that they might hear the good news, that they might be reinforced in their beliefs, and that they might have the support that they need for their mm-hmm. souls.
Marcus, what do we know about that stage in life, you know, that college, the typical traditional college age? What is it about that makes campus ministry so important?
Well, it's the first time in your life you're really stepping out. You know, the transition from middle school or junior high to high school is one thing. But from high school, moving out of the home, traveling somewhere else, mm-hmm. Having independence in ways that you've never had it before, the opportunity to make more decisions without having them double-checked by mom and dad or others around you in your life. You can show up at college and decide not to go to class one day. I'm sure Pastor D'Onofrio never skipped a class.
No, I would never, personally.
Not in 8.5 years.
That's
he
why
was
still,
on the fast track to get out of there.
I still have those nightmares that I show up to a final and I hadn't been to the class all year, you know, one of those.
No, but you can decide not to go. You
sure.
can decide to not take it seriously, and then mm-hmm. you can find out real quick where that gets you. And so the mm-hmm. It's a jolt. It's the biggest jolt that you have. Heading once you graduate from college, and there's a lot of your listeners that are parents, grandparents, others that have loved ones who have just graduated from high school. If you're on Facebook or Instagram, that's all you see is pictures of all these graduation ceremonies
right now, yeah.
and such parties going on. And then you immediately have the we're so proud of so and so, and then holy smokes, it's just hitting me that they're actually moving out. Sometimes it hits the parents quicker than it does the student, but it's a major jolt, and it's important to realize that we have to do a better job. And job number one with LCMSU is trying to help pastors, congregations, youth workers, parents, everybody do a better job of making these connecting points between their life in Christ when they're in high school, post confirmation, and not after they show up to college, but before they show up to college. I really think that's crucial. 20 years ago, when I started in campus ministry, I was always worried about finding names and tracking people down. But now we're not even getting those names, and young people in many ways are sliding out of the faith before they even show up to college. Just about 6 weeks ago, there was a survey. I think it's an annual poll that the New York Times does in conjunction with Gallup or Pew or one of these outfits mm-hmm. that said that like 25 years ago, only 8% of incoming freshmen didn't have listed on their survey some kind of a denominational background or a religious background. Only 8% were what we call nuns. Now it's up to 28%. And so we don't have this Christian. There used to always kind of be the sense that people had some sort of a Christian background, or most of them did. And it seems to me that what we have taken place in our campuses today is, the persecution. It's come. There's not a day that comes by you don't see a story, it seems, about Christians being really persecuted on campus. And it's kind of a soft kind of a persecution. Nobody's getting, tortured or anything. But frankly, right now, it'd be easier to be the, leading a Muslim student association on campus than a Christian one, because the Christians are being watched that much more closely, and they're under the microscope. And that's our lot. That's what we have to look forward to in the future. But it also makes for it's an exciting time if we can raise up our college students to be young confessors of the faith and be more bold. It's actually an exciting time to think about going to college.
You've been in this position full time for a little over a year now. Is that right?
I think 9 months, something like that, officially.
In that time, you've been out visiting campus ministries. What have you, in that time of visiting these campus ministries, what have you seen when you've been out visiting? I know I see on Facebook you're traveling here, traveling there, visiting. I see you taking pictures with various pastors and vicars and those leading and facilitating campus ministry. What have you seen out on your visits, getting down on the ground, visiting with students and with campus pastors and campus ministry leaders?
Well, Andy, I'm glad you asked this question, because what I have seen is that the state of the LCMS union is strong. What I see, and it's the greatest joy that I have. I was just telling you before we got on that one of the biggest struggles for me has been having been a campus pastor for so long, not being in positions where I'm hanging out with the students, because frankly, I'd just assume hang out with them than just about anybody, with the exception of you two, of course. No, the interest in campus ministry is huge. The excitement about, the importance of what we need to do, the opportunities that we have on campus. Those that are going off to our seminaries, those that are colleges, the interest in apologetics, the interest in developing tools and resources that our young people can use to evangelize their friends. Because like I said, 20 from 8 to 28, that's a huge leap in terms of those that are in that nun category. And our college students are getting bolder. They're getting brasher. They're getting hungrier. They're recognizing that they just can't float through high school, show up to college, and just expect to remain strong in their faith, that they need the very types of things that we are seeking to give them. So the interest in campus ministry out in the field, and I would include parents, grandparents, faculty members on campus, it's never been higher. The interest is great because we instinctively have a deep desire to take care of the young people of our church. But as I always explain to people, there's really four reasons why I think that we need to be on our college campuses. And every time I go out and visit, preach, teach, whatever, at our campus ministries and spend time with students and those who work with them, these four things become all the more apparent. And those are, number one, we got to care for our own. There's a baton that needs to be passed off between all those that work with our young people through high school and those that we pray will work with them through college. And we have to take handing the baton off. Not that I guess I'm referring to young people as batons. But we have to take seriously how we make those connecting points, and that's really job number one. And it always should be, and it always will be, as long as I have something to say about it. We got to care for our own. That's what makes people the most nervous, that we're losing our own young people. Number two, the opportunities that we have to evangelize, the number of atheists and agnostics, it's endless. I mean, this is a giant mission field. We're not only seeking to take care and provide pastoral care and such for our own sheep, but the opportunity to reach out to those that don't know Christ is just tremendous. Third, we continue to see an increase in the number of international students. I just had the pleasure of International Student Ministry, Inc. puts on an annual event down in Dittmer, Missouri, just down the road off of Highway 30, off of Gravois.
Yeah.
And went down there in 2025, mostly Chinese students, mostly Asian students, learning about the gospel, sharing their faith. It's just such a joy to see that, and the mm-hmm. opportunities that we have to have the best and brightest from so many of these countries around the world, some of those that we can't even get into, mm-hmm. coming here to America. I mean, the opportunities there are endless. And then finally, I think we have, this has been my constant drumbeat, I think we have to take seriously in this era of basically persecution, soft persecution against Christianity on campus and religious liberty issues. We have to make sure that we maintain a place in the public square and in the academic quad, as it were, and not just say that the liberal, secular, progressives, that you can just go ahead and brainwash our kids and we got nothing to say about mm-hmm. that either. So I think we need to care about staff people, faculty people, faculty members or profs or people too. Most college students probably don't think that this time of year, but they are. And we have a responsibility to stand up for issues that are important to us as Christians, because the college campuses don't have a corner on the truth.
Professors are people too. It sounds like a new hashtag.
Yes. Hey, Andy, yes. You know, Marcus brings up the nuns, and we aren't talking about female clergy types in the Roman Catholic Church.
Yes, not N-U-N.
This is something that I've done a few programs on recently also, and it's a really important segment of our population. It's growing. About a quarter of the people in America these days are identifying themselves as having no religious affiliation. They aren't agnostics or atheists necessarily. Mm-hmm. These are people who have been hurt by the church, have seen others hurt by the church, don't want to go there, and that sort of thing. And I think that it's really, really awesome that we have campus pastors who are able to get in with the students who might identify this way. Maybe their parents have scared them away from the faith or something like that. But here's an ability for a pastor to come in, to be caring, to answer questions. A lot of times people have very difficult questions. And sometimes some pastors, especially of church bodies that aren't real heavy into education, have a hard time answering these questions. So, you know, this is awesome that we have LCMSU and this kind of ministry going on so that there can be an honest dialogue about the faith, about who God is, about mm-hmm. the veracity of Scripture and so many important things. So, you know, the work that you're doing, Marcus, is just fantastic. And I think that as we look forward, it's just going to keep expanding and getting better.
As you were out visiting campus ministries this year, was there anything that just surprised you that you found that you didn't expect to find in your visits?
I would say the biggest, it was really a source of joy. I was at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia. And that's a congregation trying to start campus ministry or wanting to expand it further. And then I found students everywhere. They were coming to church. Lots of times people are like, well, what do we have to do for campus ministry? I'm like, well, you've got all these young people coming to church. I mean, how many, I didn't even go to church all that often when I was in college. And so that's just a tremendous thing. It always never ceases to surprise me when people think that campus ministry is something more than what we already have in the church. But that day, it just was the day I happened to be there. It was the day that worked out for me to come, and they welcomed me in and asked me to preach and whatnot. And they had a baptism of a young gal from China. She was being baptized as an adult. And I looked out, and she had brought some 20, 25 of her friends.
Wow.
Who were from Africa, who were from, you know, the Philippines, who were from Europe, who were from South America, all students at the University of Virginia. And not all of them were Christians. And it was a memory that I'll always have, that this just happened to be a typical church. I showed up, they're interested in campus ministry. They have college students. They're baptizing this young lady from China. And she was so excited about it. She invited all of her friends. And in reality, that is ultimately what it's about. It's about, keeping young people in the faith, teaching the faith to others, and inviting people to come and find out who this Jesus is and what he's about and what he is there to give you. And so I guess it wasn't a surprise. It was just an unexpected blessing. It was mm-hmm. one of the most wonderful moments in my life and probably the highlight of the time that I've had in this position.
Are there misconceptions about campus ministry? You mentioned that the wanting to do campus ministry but they're actually already doing it in some ways. Are there misconceptions about what campus ministry is or what it should be?
I think there are a lot of them, and I think the biggest one is that people think that it's some canned thing that you can just kind of pop up like a Kingdom Hall for the Jehovah's Witnesses, some little cookie cutter thing that you just, you know, there's a lot of tips and ideas that you can give people of what to do, but mm-hmm. every place is different, and it takes ultimately people that are willing to spend the time to be on campus.
Sure. What campus ministry looks like in California is probably going to be different than what campus ministry looks like in Minnesota.
Right. However,
fewer parkas in California.
However, what is the same is this intense need for our people, even if they're blessed like I was at the University of Wyoming, to have a phenomenal facility. You know, we don't have as many facilities as we'd like to, right, rubbed up against the campus. And where we have them, they're phenomenal, and we need to keep them and use them to their maximum ability because they stand there as icons of the gospel right next to the campus. But ultimately, the one thing that I'm constantly surprised is that people don't always understand that they need to get on campus. You have to go to the turf of those you're trying to reach. You just do. And even if you're a full-time campus pastor and you've got a full-time congregation and a building right next, you still need to be on campus. And there is absolutely no canned program, no substitute for doing the hard work and taking the time of being there, talking to young people, being present, and being in those places where you can have the kind of discussions that Craig mm-hmm. was talking about that can take place. Because people just don't stumble into your church. They may, and that's wonderful when they do, mm-hmm. but we need to be in the positions where they don't have to stumble very far. They will naturally seek and find us out because we're where mm-hmm. they are.
So you're saying that as a campus pastor, being on campus, whether it's attending some of the events, the basketball games, the concerts, the things, just hanging out on campus where the students are.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, go and... I didn't do as much of it as I would like. But you know, if I was getting back into the game in campus ministry, if I had a student say that would come to me and say, you know, Pastor Zill, this prof has been just bashing Christianity. You can go and ask, hey, can I have an opportunity to go sit in on a class? And usually they'll let you do it as long as you're reasonable and you just
behave yourself.
But you need to, if you're going to have a cup of coffee, if you're a young pastor, a young DCE, and you want to get involved in campus ministry, or you're a layperson with an interest, if you're going to have a cup of coffee in town, go to the Starbucks at the community college. Go hang out there. Wear your clerical collar if you're a pastor. wear your clerical collar, make yourself visible, be there.
I shouldn't wear the clerical.
You know, it's like, can you imagine trying to do outreach in a situation in inner city Baltimore and you do it from rural Maryland? No, you have to go into the city. You have to go there and talk to the people in the context where they're at. One of the things that I don't know if I would have ever done, I always dreamt of taking Chinese at the University of Wyoming because we had some 500 college students that were Chinese. And I always thought, if I'm here forever, even if I just audited it and learned enough, mm-hmm. that I thought that would be a pretty powerful witness and an opening to them if I knew a little bit of Chinese. And I had actually, you know, audited a class or something at the University of Wyoming. And so there's any number of ways to do it. But my best advice to a pastor out there that's like, you know, hey, I've got this church, we're 2 miles from this college, is get out of the office. You probably don't want to have to answer phone calls. Get out of the office. Take your laptop, take your iPad, take a book that you need to be reading anyways. Go on campus and spend a couple hours just hanging out in the student union. Tell your college students that might be around that on Thursday mornings, that's what you do. And you can, mm-hmm. and even if you don't do anything, but just be there, there is kind of a theology of presence at work here with being there.
You know, it is interesting that as you wear your collar in public, it's an invitation for a lot of people. It's amazing how many people would come up to you and start spewing really crazy religious nonsense, but it opens the door for a great conversation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people just have questions. You know, are you a priest? Oh, no, but let me tell you about my church. You know, and so just simply being there, like Marcus is saying, as a pastor, not someone in a polo shirt that might say, you know, St. Matthew's Lutheran Church or something like that on it, but someone who's actually there as a presence, as a pastor, in time, it'll be amazing the conversations that come up and just the ability to talk to people.
So as a DCE, I have to find something that's identifying. I don't wear a collar as a DCE.
Well, you can, you know what? We'll let you wear a choir robe.
A choir robe.
Yes, yeah, that would go over very well on campus.
We're talking about LCMSU and campus ministry in the LCMS with the Reverend Craig D'Onofrio and the Reverend Marcus Hill. Stick around for more Faith and Family right after this break on Worldwide KFUO.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
I don't think abortion is right, said Lisa, even though she's had four of them. Lisa was one of hundreds of women featured in a British article who've had multiple abortions. What shocked the author is what Lisa said next regarding her repeat abortions. It does get easier with the more you have. Lisa saw this as the best option because she didn't want to have four children with four different fathers. My advice to her is if she'd save sex for marriage, she'd have no problems. Lisa says she has no regrets. I don't believe it. The pitter-patter of baby's feet may not keep her awake at night, but it likely will when the reality of what she's done sinks in. Pray that Lisa and all women find the truth when looking to abortion as birth control.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
The world is the mission field of Worldwide KFUO. We bring the gospel of Christ to all nations. Worldwide KFUO reaches countries where missionaries on the ground can't go. Christ called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations. And that's what we do here every day at Worldwide KFUO. If our mission and worldwide outreach is important to you, would you please prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO at KFUO.org.
The Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education invites all pastors, teachers, administrators, and homeschoolers to our conference hosted by Messiah Lutheran Classical Academy in Keller, Texas, July 14 through 16. Learn more about what is good, true, and beautiful from speakers including Dr. Kenneth Calvert, Dr. E. Christian Kopf, and Dr. Jean Edward Veith. Register online by May 31st and receive the early bird rate, ccle.org.
Hi, I'm Joni Harwell. Worldwide KFUO is listener-supported, and you, the listener, are our funding providers. One of the best ways to help is by becoming a day sponsor. Pick an available date to mark a special event, or simply to thank our Lord for His many blessings. You'll find details at KFUO.org. Then click on Support Us or call Mary Schmidt, 314-996-1518. Help spread the gospel. Become a Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Anselmo, A new college graduate with a bright future.
I'm going home for the summer to earn some money in my father's business.
But his life takes an unexpected turn.
Ghazni, Kabul, seize these two.
Yes, Captain.
What's happening?
The Captive, the newest drama from Lamplighter Theatre. Building character, one story at a time. Here on this station.
Saturday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO.
You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me in studio today, the Reverend Marcus Zill, Director of LCMS Campus Ministry and LCMSU, and the Reverend Craig D'Onofrio, host of Reformation Rush Hour, the God Whisperers here on Worldwide KFUO, and has something very important to say.
He couldn't even wait for you to get
your... We were right in the middle of something. So, Marcus, we weren't supposed to let everyone know that about Andy. Is that secret? Is that what you're saying? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Sorry. Couldn't help it. We don't need to start rumors here.
I get to ask the questions here.
Get your own program, Craig. Or three. Or four. Whatever it is. Jeez.
Well, we've spent some time talking about LCMSU and campus ministry, the importance of campus ministry for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We talked about some of the visits that you've made and what you've learned in your visits. Where do you hope... what are the things you hope to see in the coming year or the next couple of years, Marcus?
It's almost a little overwhelming, but there are a lot of exciting things coming down the pike. And one of the things I've been trying to do is to take time to develop a plan that's realistic and is going to be the best support to those doing campus ministry. First and foremost, we need to support those that are out there and the continual communications, driving names. Names are important to those in campus ministry, getting a hold of young people so that we even know who they are. Some of those infrastructure things are still getting developed and getting in place so that we can constantly make, you know, it doesn't do any good to have campus ministry if you don't know who the people are that you're trying to reach. And so there's some things that are just basic to campus ministry that have to be there. But one of the things that I'm most interested in is, you know, I can't do campus ministry. That's not my job. I'm the chancellor. I don't teach in the classroom. But that's really growing on me.
Unless you're at a small university or college, then you probably
do. LCMSU is not a small, there is no small virtual university. It's only rather large. But one of the things that you know, my goal is to develop things to oversee the development of not only the network and constantly giving consultation to those that are trying to start campus ministry, but to provide resources to do so that are independent of the things that they just have to roll up their sleeves and do at their local campus to find out that I can't do for them, that we can't do for them as a synod. And so the development of a lot of tools and resources, things that they can, you know, there's no substitute for actually talking to people on campus, but perhaps we can develop some evangelistic tools and resources that they can hand out to others on campus, that they can have a place to put the information of their campus ministry on, kind of the old tract ministry type stuff, kind of like with a new fresh face for the future. We're also getting ready to, I'm presently working with CPH on a redo of the Blessings and Prayers for College Students devotional book. And we're talking about adding some apologetics and evangelistic tips and tools and resources in that, so that it's really a college companion and not just a devotional companion. So It's going to be kind of like the book that you have as a resource in your backpack whenever you're on campus and something comes up. We might even have a page in there like, you know, how do you talk to the Mormon missionaries when they show up at your dorm room or whatever. And so so things like that. Of course, as I mentioned, names are really key in passing on that baton. So probably the biggest thing that we're going to roll out in the next year are going to be what we're going to call college bound. These are going to be basic boot camp retreat type situations for either our juniors and seniors or maybe just our seniors, maybe their fall semester, their college year. Excuse me. And the goal is to basically target our juniors, get them involved, get them in the pipeline, give them a reason to kind of get connected with us early. And to, you know, I always mention, I've probably mentioned it on your program before, going to college, especially a state university, can be a little bit like going to the moon. And if you're going to go to the moon, you got to get prepared to go to the moon long before you go. You just don't show up to the moon. Have you ever showed up to the moon, Craig?
Only on Wednesday.
Okay. Okay.
So were you there
but
yesterday?
I bet he started getting prepared on Monday. No, probably not. But, okay, bad example to use to know for an example. But the bottom line is you got to get prepared. And so we want to kind of focus our attention on how to get young people prepared, putting on these college-bound retreats. And we're talking, you know, a Friday night, Saturday, you get 4, 5, 6 local campus ministries in a region together to help put them on, whether it's at a local church or a retreat center or perhaps best on a college campus. Bring in a speaker who can talk to them about kind of the worldviews that they're going to be stepping into and begin the process of getting them prepared to step onto the college campus. And of course, indirectly, then they're getting connected with one another, with those in campus ministry. Maybe we'll have Concordias that hopefully be represented at these things. But the other thing, and I haven't mentioned this much, but we're in the process of developing what will probably be a summer institute for graduating seniors. It might not be next year, it might be 2 years down the line. But it will also be called College Bound, and it will be the place to go that, hey, we've gotten you in the pipeline, you're thinking about going to college, you're graduating senior, take a week, go and learn in depth these worldview type situations, evangelistic tools, get connected with others that are in campus ministry around the summer, around the Synod, and kind of just have a more in-depth kind of a summer institute, kind of summer school for those that are getting ready to go to college. And it'll have kind of a leadership, kind of institute, kind of a feel to it so that, if you want something more than just our little retreat, you have a chance to really get boned up on this stuff and get ready to go to the moon in a bigger way. So those are some of the things. I think those are crucial. You know, what's especially exciting to me about some of these things is that, you know, we have 180, 190 chapters out there. A lot of great campus ministry going on, but there's a lot of places where there isn't anything. And a lot of places where, yeah, there might be the local church, but there might be a college student going to community college. And they're like, well, where do I go to connect with young people? Where do I... You know, I don't have what, you know, you had Pastor Zill at the University of Wyoming or what they have at the University of Missouri or wherever. So how do I get connected? One of my hopes is to find those places where they have that opportunity for collegiate community. Maybe it's not on their campus, but at least they can have an opportunity to go to some of these things perhaps in June. And we're actually hoping to kind of expand it into perhaps, you know, you might hear about a school of apologetics for those that are in college, or a school of life and liberty, or what about this one? What about a school? What about a summer week intensive by LCMSU on faith and science? These are places that a lot of people don't go. A lot of kids, they have the questions about these things, liberty and life, apologetics, evangelistic outreach. And also a lot of questions about the interrelation between their faith and science. And so, you know, not everybody's really, maybe best prepared to answer a lot of those questions. I know I'm not a science guy, but we've got an awful lot of great people out there, especially faculty members and others that, that could be helpful and to be a way for us to plug them in.
Absolutely. A lot of great resources across our church body for something like that. What are the resources that college students have? What are the accessible resources that college students have, our students have right now, that maybe they didn't have a few years ago? With the change in technology, the things that they have access to now, maybe they don't know about them, but they already have access to them.
Well, you know, I get asked a lot about, you know, what kind of books or curriculum guides or different things like that do we have available? And of course, you know, our friends at CPH have a lot of tremendous stuff. Most college students aren't going to sit around and just kind of glean through that. But I mentioned the Blessing and Prayers for College Students book that we're redoing. I think some of the things, sometimes we overthink this. A lot of I had thought about, promoting the idea of having a mere Christianity club on campus that wasn't even tied to our local campus ministry, but just steerheading it for anybody and everybody that wanted to come and actually just talk. talk, even just reading through a book like Mere Christianity, which is something I think every college student, every high school senior should read before they go to college. There's a lot of things that we really just kind of need to package them in such a way that they're more accessible. To kind of pick through the types of things that would be most helpful for college students to read. But a book like Mere Christianity is, you know, some of the best classes I ever did weren't prepackaged curriculum things. They were us sitting around reading through, Chesterton or C.S. Lewis or other things like that. And, and just spending time, with the young people as we walk through it together. It's really not all that difficult. Sometimes we make it too hard.
Now, I know, I understand you two have been in the KFUO kitchen cooking up something, working on something, some ideas that that you've been working on.
We're in cahoots.
You're in cahoots.
With the kahuna. Although he hasn't been cooking as much. Have you seen how much? He's lost like 50 pounds. Look at this guy over here.
Something in the water here. People are slimming down.
I need to
here
stop cooking, but I get your point.
I keep eating.
Don't ruin the analogy, Zil.
Everybody else is losing weight. I keep eating. Well, so you two have been collaborating on something, and we were just talking about resources and being accessible to college students. Do you have anything you want to share with us?
Absolutely not.
Next Absolutely question. Not.
No.
Craig, do you have anything you want to share?
It's all kind of top secret, and that's why we're here to not talk about it.
Okay. No. Well, this has been a fine edition of Faith and Family.
No,
I just thought of something.
We're getting ready to launch a new program with LCMSU called the Student Union, and I'm going to let Marcus tell you all about it because it's more his baby than mine.
Well, we unveiled the logo for this back at the Taboo Conference in January, and we've been kind of working towards it and spent a little time here in St. Louis this week to kind of begin to flesh it out a little bit. July 29th will be the launch date. It'll be a half an hour program on KFUO.
Lord willing, everything will go well.
On Wednesday afternoons. Maybe you'll get repeated over the weekend or whatever. Obviously, it'll be available for podcast and download and all that kind of stuff, like all the other great programming here at KFUO. But the goal of this, many times people ask me, why are you doing a radio program? Well, there's a lot of lack of connectivity out there between everybody in campus ministry. And we wanted to find something that we could do on a weekly basis to bring topics and items of interest to those that are in college, those that work with those in college, tips for parents, tips for faculty members, tips for home congregations of how to care for their students, questions of religious liberty that come up repeatedly, the gay marriage issue that'll come up, and how will it affect those on campus. In fact, in many ways, the Taboo Conference demonstrated exactly why we need something to connect all of these young people. We have 475 young people getting together, and they have desires to kind of be connected in more than just, you know, Facebook and social media. And so this gives us a chance to have an opportunity for me as the host to bring forth speakers on the very things that they're most interested in and the current events that are affecting them on their college campuses. And, you know, as close to real time as you can get, and also to continue to highlight and to promote what we're doing with LCMSU along the way. And so it's really about having kind of a heartbeat in between our main conferences and trying to connect everybody that's out there that has an interest in campus ministry. And I hope it'll also be of interest to those that are thinking about going to college. Obviously, at certain times of the year when, you know, when graduation time, like right now, this time next year, we'd probably spend a lot of time talking about how helping our young people prepare to go to college. But a lot of the topics that come out of College Bound, the Worldview Boot Camps, some of the retreats that we're going to be offering, the topics that rose through the Taboo Conference related to sexuality, there is no end to the number of speakers and professors and campus pastors and students. One of the things, the very first guest that I'm going to have, I'm going to make sure it's a student because I want it to be, primarily for the students and something that they look forward to, you know, even if they can't listen to it when it's on live, downloading it and listening to it on their iPhone or whatnot during the week.
Craig, how is this? This is a little bit different than some of the other programming we have here at Worldwide KFUO.
Well, I think that, I don't think, I know that I'm excited about this, but this reflects KFUO's global influence and the influence that we want to have across the world. KFUO is radio for Christians, not radio for Christians who are over 70 or under 12 or anything like that. So once again, we fill out another demographic that we can reach with the gospel at KFUO, and not just reach in the St. Louis area, but around the world. And so this brings in that college age crowd and those who would go to college soon enough. And I think that it's just really exciting that KFUO isn't growing younger. We're just growing more diverse in our ages. Back in 93, when I was in seminary, I worked at KFUO. I was told that our average listener was like a 73-year-old lady named Gertie or something like that. And we've seen in recent years that we have spread out so far. Of course, the 73-year-old lady still has programming that's appealing to her, but we have programming for those who are in their 40s, 50s, 30s. And now we're reaching into that college and that high school age more and more. And I just really am excited. And as I said, KFUO is for Christians and those who would be Christians. And from the youngest to the oldest, we all need to hear the same thing. Sin and grace, law and gospel, forgiveness of sins. And so I'm excited that Pastor Zill's coming on to do that and target it toward an age group that really is challenged in a lot of ways of hearing this. So once again, we're just expanding more and more, which is awesome.
And I'm thrilled that we're able to partner on this and to offer this for that audience. That we have some college students that listen to Worldwide KFUO, but this is going to target those specific things that they deal with on a daily basis when it comes to being a faithful Christian, a confessing Christian on a campus where they're faced with persecution, but just with challenges to what they believe, teach, and confess.
Yeah, we do have programming like the God Whispers for those who are emotionally challenged. So, you know, I mean, it's not just the age groups.
Not there's just also, the host, right?
There's also a wide variety of maturities involved here also.
Well, I like how you described it. Diversification of our ages. As I get older, perhaps that's what I can call it, too. I'm not getting older. I'm just diversifying my chronological
agenda. You're increasing your portfolio, Andy.
Well, how thrilling to be able to roll this out and to have this partnership with LCMSU and to be a part of something new and exciting, that a new program for college students, including college students and those who love them.
Which should be everybody, right?
Right.
College students are people too. But no, I mean,
new hashtag, college people are students too.
Yes.
We had professors are people too. We're going to have like five hashtags.
Radio
by the time
hosts are people too. Well, let's not get carried away.
Don't get nuts on us.
No, but, you know, one of the things that I hope to do, and it's been fun to kind of get to know the technology, and Pastor D'Onofrio has been
awesome. Don't press that button.
Okay. he's been absolutely awesome trying to help get me up to speed on this stuff, because I got a lot to learn. But I'm gonna have the capability to go out, and when I'm out on the road, as you mentioned, I do get out on the road, actually kind of interview students kind of wherever I'm at, capture these types of things. We're might as well say it, this fall I hope to have some sort of a version of LCMSU tailgate parties at various campuses around the country that are going to remain secret. It's going to be kind of like a college game day kind of experience that I'm just going to kind of show up, and people will be wondering, where is Pastor Zill going to kind of put on an event at a local college? And I can have the opportunity to interview and talk to college students and those that work with them, you know, where they're at. So there's a lot of possibilities and directions we can go with this. And I think it's going to be a wonderful resource, especially something that I have a real heart for those that are out there in the middle of nowhere that feel like they need more connectivity to college students, because they don't have a full-time campus ministry, or even maybe a campus ministry in a traditional sense at all, and they really wish they did. So it's one more tool that we can kind of utilize in that regard.
So what you're saying is lots of bratwursts in your future. tailgate parties left and right, huh?
Yeah, that'll help me lose weight, right? Everybody's losing weight around here. I got to figure out how to get with the program.
Well, I think that's a great idea. I'd love to hang out at an LCMSU tailgate party. That would be fun.
Well, it kind of stems back when Pastor Bart Day had asked me to do this. I had suggested that for the first year, that rather than me actually moving somewhere and then just doing it, kind of having a traditional job, that my family would homeschool and we were going to rent like a motorhome.
Sure.
Like a major, like a bus, you know, like that rock stars have.
Oh, not just pull an Airstream behind your vehicle.
And I could have just traveled around the country in an LCMSU mobile and showed up at different places to highlight campus ministry for a year. And Pastor Day wasn't disinterested. My wife, not so much.
Marcus, I think you need the Where's Waldo's striped shirt and beanie as you do this. You know, something like that. But really, you need to lose more weight to earn the horizontal stripes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I haven't yet earned the horizontal stripes. I can do the vertical,
okay,
but not the horizontal.
So that's when you know you
have
reached.
That's why I stick to plaid.
That's when you know that you have deflated your portfolio enough that you've reached your goal. Okay.
Where can we find out more about LCMSU? Say we're planning on graduating from high school this year, looking at going out to college, already picked the college for next year. How can we find out if there's campus ministry there? How can we get connected to that campus ministry? How can we do that for our kid, for our grandchild?
Well, the best place to go is lcms.org/LCMSU, facebook.com/LCMSU, and there's a variety of other places you can get connected and other things coming up down the pike. But if you're connected there, you'll be in good shape.
lcms.org/LCMSU. That takes you right to the LCMSU page. And is there a form on there where you can fill out some information?
There is a place, there's a map of all of our chapters. Right. There is also a place, like if you're a college student getting ready to go to school this fall and you're like, I don't see it, please look on the map. Mm-hmm. And see where to go. But if you don't see a place where you're going to school, you can drop us a note, or a parent or a pastor, a DCE, a lay member, grandma can drop a note through this thing called Campus Link, and it will send a form to us with your information, and we'll do the best to be discreet with the information, but make a connection with a local pastor or someone that can look after a college student wherever they're going.
Now, I heard that a guy named Craig D'Onofrio is going to be enrolling at community college this year again. Can I just put his name in there too?
It's an anniversary tour.
Someday I'll get that associate's degree that I've been after.
I'm very thankful for community college. And as Craig mentioned, I wish that there would have been a strong campus ministry presence there at community college.
And that's high on the list for future development. We need to find ways to tackle this.
You know, Southern Illinois District, we have
absolutely
a campus ministry on Southwestern Illinois College. We have a campus ministry. We have a deaconess intern there every year, and she's there connecting with the students and connecting them to the local congregations and doing a great job.
That's fantastic. We need more of that.
Mm-hmm. So grateful for that, for the work of the deaconess interns we have there, and I believe we have another deaconess who will be serving there in the coming year. Gentlemen, thank you very much for taking time today out of your busy schedules to share with me and our listeners about LCMSU and especially about the student union. What's the rollout date again?
July 29th.
July 29th, getting ready to kick off a new school year. How exciting. The Reverend Craig D'Onofrio, host of Reformation Rush Hour and the God Whisperers, Concord Matters, and anything else that I don't host.
The prayers.
All this. Yeah, daily prayer. Morning prayer.
Let's see what else.
Evening prayer.
I don't know what else.
Thanks for being our guest today, Craig.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
The Reverend Marcus Zill, Director of LCMSU, LCMS Campus Ministry. Thanks for being our guest today. Chancellor, I'm sorry. Not the czar.
I'm really digging that.
The chancellor.
Okay, we're going to hear about this.
Of campus ministry. God's blessings on your travels this year and all those tailgate parties that you get to do. Thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
It's great to be with you.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word with the Reverend William Whedon, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.